I was listening to a speaker who was at the United Church of Christ Ohio Conference annual meeting yesterday. Her name was Janet Wolf, and she's the director of nonviolent organizing with the Children's Defense Fund Nashville team. They do a lot of work with at-risk children, and the statistics she was throwing out were just incredible about the number of children who are living in poverty, not only in the city of Nashville, but she was quoting statistics about Ohio because she was giving a talk to Ohioans. An incredible number of children right here in Licking County, nearly 50% of the children in the city of Newark are living in poverty. When she was talking about children whose fathers were in prison, whose parents were not available for one reason or another, who end up in sort of a pipeline from cradle to prison, as she talked about it, it opened my eyes again to the fact that sometimes I don't see a lot of people. One of the stories she told was interesting. She said, I was talking to a child in the juvenile detention system one day, and that child, when asked what really was the main thing that he wanted, replied, "I just want somebody to see me. I want somebody to notice me. I have been looked over, looked past my entire life. Nobody knows me." The sermon title today, Finding the One in the Many, is kind of a trick. It being Trinity Sunday, you might be predisposed to think that I was talking about the Trinity there. And it's interesting that when you think about the concept of the Trinity and you think about the evolution of Christian doctrine, why did these early followers of Jesus end up expostulating something that we now call the Trinity in one version or another? And it's an interesting history when you think about that. Why did the early Christian movement come up with this idea of the Trinity from a monotheistic Judaism in which they were developing? And don't you think it was because there was an insistence in that early group that we don't just see God in the cloud of unknowing that is the I am behind the sacred curtains of the temple, but we know God in people, and we know God in this peasant from Nazareth, Jesus Christ. We know God because God's Spirit is in you and in me. We know God in spirit, in us, in people. We know God in many, many places. God is not just known as one. God is the one in the many. And so the connection between that sort of thinking and the Bible verses today are kind of interesting. God is not just up there. God is present in the many. And this question that was asked by Janet Wolf yesterday, "Do you see me?" struck me as kind of interesting on Trinity Sunday. Do we see the one in the many? Today's texts are fascinating, the ones from the New Testament, and I think that this Luke is the only gospel that puts these two texts together, the blind Bartimaeus story and then the story of Zacchaeus up in the tree. He puts them together, I think, because they're connected. They're stories about two people that weren't going to be seen. And the first story, we have blind Bartimaeus who's sitting by the roadway. As Jesus neared Jericho, a blind person sat there on the road crying, "Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus of Nazareth, heir of David, have pity on me." And then it says, "And then those in the crowd sternly ordered him to be quiet." "Shh, be quiet. We got some important things going on here. Shut up. You're disturbing the peace." Right? And he cries out, son of David, have mercy on me." And then Jesus stopped and looked at the beggar and says, "Wait a minute. What do you want me to do for you?" And it's interesting that the disciples in the Matthean version of this look at the beggar and they say, "Take heart, the master will see you." This is a great example of, if you've got any psychologists in the audience, transference. Do you know transference? Transference is when, I heard a great story about transference this week. So someone in the congregation was telling me about a person in their workplace who was kind of a bully. Perpetually, this person had been a bully and had pushed around other employees in the workplace, sort of enforcing their will, suppressing thought and whatnot. And then the employees started to get a little bit of courage and started to confront this person, say, listen, you really can't be saying these things to us. And they started going to administration. The administration sort of came down and called this person for the actions that they were taking on the rest of the workplace. And the response was this, oh, they're just picking on me. They pick on me all the time. Right? The bully saying, oh, I'm the victim. They're picking on me. This is a great example of transference. We see in other people what we ourselves are doing and blame them for doing that, right? So the disciples are walking down, you know, with Jesus. We got the parade going. We're supposed to be going through Jerusalem. Jesus has got a real big important message here, right? And we want everybody to hear it. And here's this guy disturbing the parade. Have mercy on me, have mercy on me. Shh, be quiet, quit it. And then when he finally, Jesus recognizes him, they say, oh, take courage. Take courage. Well, you know, they were kind of the ones who really needed to take courage. And hear the voices on the margin to see the person at the edge of the crowd. But they didn't have the courage to do that. And the irony of it is that Jesus' message, the message he was coming in to share there, is the message that God calls us to love one another, to love the other as ourselves, to love God, the source, the beginning, the end of all of our lives, and to love other people as we love ourselves, and to do the weightier matters of the law, not to be so wrapped up in the organization, but to seek justice, love, compassion, and mercy, and to walk humbly with a right sense of place in the world. That's all the message was, right? And ironically, they're shutting out this voice in the margin who's saying, see me, do you see me? And then we have the story of Zacchaeus, the little guy who hides up in the tree, the tax collector, the rich little guy who hides up in the tree, the person who has been charged with taking as much money as he can to return the investment he's made to the Roman government to tax this province, and has taken a lot of money from people, probably not very well liked, so he runs up into the tree to hide and catch a glimpse of Jesus. He's one of these sinners who are not supposed to dwell in the seat of, according to Psalm chapter 1. Right? And Jesus comes by, and everybody's ignoring Zacchaeus. Nobody wants to see him, and Jesus says, you there in the tree, I want to sit down with you today, right there in the seat of the sinners, looking at the people on the margin and saying, hey, you're important. And what's interesting is that tradition says that Bartimaeus became a very important part of the Christian movement. And we know from this text itself that Zacchaeus returns the money that he's exploited fourfold to the people from whom he took it. Blessing and healing and regeneration are poured out onto the community because Jesus recognized the people in the margins. They cried out in their hearts, if not with their words, do you see me? Do you see me? And the disciples did not see, but Jesus did. What's happening here is that Jesus is refusing to be complicit with a church that is complacent about the needs of others, that ignores the voices of the folks on the margins, that is comfortable sort of sitting around and sharing life with a select in-group, the people that were on the parade, the people that were already part of the movement. We know each other. And there's a temptation in life, isn't there, to sort of rest in that comfortable place where we know we're part of the group and to not listen to the voices from the outside or to see the people on the outside who potentially could be along the way with us. What's happening here is that Jesus is insisting that there is no neutral position to default to this outsider-insider modus operandi that we sometimes operate in. To ignore people is to fail to see those around us, and that's in fact to refuse them. What's happening here is that Jesus is inviting the church to live with its eyes open. Open to the possibility of health and healing and restoration that can come when we discover and uncover and unleash the holy that is there waiting on the margins, waiting to be seen. Sometimes we're thinking so much about the stuff we're carrying around. Isn't this true? And I think this happens with me, happens with all of us, that we can't actually see the others around us. And thinking about this text today, I thought I'm going to come in here early today and I'm just going to think about the people in this church. And I sat there in that office and I thought about each one of you and tried to think, do I see them? What would happen if we really thought in our minds, do I see the people that are around me? Not with physical eyes, but with spiritual eyes, eyes of compassion. Do I see the people around me? And do I know that within them is the very Spirit of God waiting to be unleashed so that they can be made active in fuller and richer ways in community in the world? One of the marks of resilient communities, I think, is balancing unity and diversity. I was coming into the office this morning listening to NPR, and some of you might have listened to that was going on about 7:30. There was a discussion about unity and diversity in groups. And the person was saying something that I thought, wow, this is exactly what I was going to say in the sermon. In groups, there's a tension between unity and diversity, and there has to be a unity. There has to be a coming together around core values. And that's what the Jesus movement is. It's a coming together around core values that we think the most important thing is to love other people, to love the source and this wonderful in evolving creation. And to simply do justice, to walk humbly with God, and to live lives of compassion and mercy. But we also realize that around those core values are lots of different accidentals. And those core values are shared with all sorts of different people that are around us all the time. People who are different. We are not the Church of Jesus Christ, we have to remember, because there's a sign out there on the lawn that says we are. We are the Church of Jesus Christ because we live out in our individual lives the hopeful and inclusive love of Jesus. We live attentively in the world, looking at those others and trying to see them. To see them as people who could be part of our own lives. To recognize that within them is something that connects. They might not even know it. But when I was over there at the Centenary United Methodist Church this morning, as we were having the opening to Vacation Bible School, and they were singing all those songs about God and using He language all the time, you know, my back is wriggling a little bit. But then I was remembering all these people, we are united in the fact that there is a great compassion that's flowing through every single person in this room, ignited or unignited, that connects us all to one another, and we are one. There's a sense in which we are one. And if we open up our hands to one another, if we get into the pattern that these early disciples were of thinking, well, this is the movement that we're in, and we don't have anything to do with these other people in these other places, what happens is that we are excluding from the possibility of our own common life together the richness that those people could bring, because we are already always connected to one another. In being the church, in hearing the voices on the margin along the way, some of us are the voices on the margins. And in seeing Zacchaeus up in the tree needing forgiveness and new opportunities, and in stopping and grabbing our neighbor's hands together in faith, we discover that God and that God's way of just love is more powerful than we ever imagined it could be. Doing that, opening the parade to those on the outside, makes us more resilient and aware and hopeful. And it makes us a more resilient and aware and hopeful church. Let's pray. Oh God, we thank you for the gifts that each person in this place brings, for the very important part they are in the whole body of Christ. We are different. We sometimes see the lack in others without remembering that we always already lack something ourselves. We see the need for healing in others when we fail to realize that we ourselves need healing. We reach out our hand to help without realizing that we ourselves need hands reached out to us and to be helped. Oh God, help us to realize that we are all in this together, and that there's no voice that should go unheard. no person hiding in the trees that should go unseen. Amen.